Poetry Rocks Tool 18, The Traditionalist. The purpose of this tool is to grow in knowledge of the form or shape a poem can take by creating a poem in or adapted from a traditional form. And for background, I wanted to share with you something I heard that just I loved hearing. The poet Naomi Shihab Nye was speaking once, and I was lucky enough to hear her, and she was talking about how when she was a little girl, she was drawn to poetry just from the way it looked on the page. The white space all around the words made her feel like there was something very special and important about poems, and she decided, and this was even before she could read, that when she grew up, she was going to become a poet. And to me, this really illustrates the visual power of the form and shape of our poems. And I want to talk with you about traditional forms and non-traditional forms for a little bit. There are many traditional forms of poetry, and each one has its own form and shape and rules. And in my opinion, we're really fortunate to live in a time when we can choose to use any traditional form we like, or we can choose to just play with any particular form, and we can shape our poems in infinite ways by the way that we arrange our words, lines, and stanzas, and we can borrow things from the form that we like, and we can let go of the things that we don't like as much, and really adapt them. And many poets who are writing now really prefer to write in free voice, which just simply means that the poem doesn't have any particular form. But we also have people who love to invent forms, and innovative poets are always coming up with their own forms. And a lot of times these are made by adapting an established form. And that's what I did in my example that you'll hear in just a little bit. I have a small double almost haiku. So I was inspired by a form to do it. And the thing I think is kind of funny is that even though free verse has been around for a long time now, certainly the entire span of my life, but it's still considered a non-traditional form. And I'm just going to name a few traditional forms that you probably heard of: the sonnet, the limerick, the haiku. And you may not be able to rattle off the right number of syllables or the metric feet or lines per stanza, but you probably have heard of them. And you may be familiar with the villanelle. You may be familiar with the sestina or the pantoum. And if not, no worries. It just depends on how much exposure you've had. I actually have a link here for all these forms I'm mentioning and some other ones as well. So you can check those out if you care to when you're doing this particular tool. And I know you've heard of terza rima. That's the poetic form I discussed and gave examples of in Tool 14, the lyric. So you'd be able to pick from any of these forms or any other one that you can find or think of as you use this tool. And what you're going to do is you're just going to write a poem in one of those traditional forms that I just mentioned or any other form. And you're also free, if you'd like, to use a traditional form, but adapt it somewhat in any way that you'd like to. And if you are interested in writing a sonnet, I know that's a classic form that many people like to write in, and I think everybody ought to write one sonnet in their lifetime, I've written one, but I just wasn't all that happy with it. But if you want to try your hand at this, I've included a sonnet writing tool, so you can do that. And one thing is just to keep in mind, as I've said, that you can bend this form any way that you like. And we've already talked about slant rhyme and how helpful that can be. And you can alter the meter or syllable count a bit if you like. And it's also great to be a purist. Sometimes pushing yourself in that way can be really good for your poetic muscles, as it were. So just really have fun with this, though, and give up perfectionism and give up any attachment to the outcome, especially if you're new to poetic form. What you're really after here is just to play with the process and don't worry so much about the results. Just see what happens as you play with language in this way. So here's my example, and the telling how it came to be is so much longer than the poem itself, but here's what happened. I had a best friend, I still have her, in fact, and I was teaching up in the North Carolina mountains when her mother died, and it just felt terrible, as close as we were, to not be able to go to her mother's funeral to support her. But I was teaching a class of people, and there was no one to fill in for me, and these students had traveled from all across the country to come, so I just didn't really feel that it was right for me to leave. And so I just couldn't help but think, as I was in the mountains, I got reminded of my grandmother's funeral, and I was thinking about how several years earlier I hadn't gone, and I still felt kind of bad about it. Although my mother had said that I didn't need to travel 600 miles with my kids, they were very young then, and the truth was that none of us were very fond of my grandmother. I didn't have a good relationship with her, and there really only one of my brothers out of our whole family really had any kind of close relationship with her, but I still felt bad about it. And so I took my class members on a hike, and we all took our journals, and we'd been playing with the shuffle, and you, I'm sure, remember picking out words and making poems out of just words for their sound. And so I was sitting there on a rock, listening to this waterfall and thinking about the words in my shuffle and having all those thoughts and feelings I just mentioned, and I came up with this poem that came out in my journal, and I did, I'm sure, tinker with it a number of times. And a traditional haiku has three lines with a pattern of five syllables, then seven, then five. And this particular as I was sitting there by the rock, it just felt to me like I wanted something that spare and slender, and I ended up writing something that was almost a haiku, almost double haiku. It's 5-7-6, and then 6-7-5 is my syllable count here. So you'll also notice that instead of having this be about missing my friend's mother's funeral, I made it about missing my grandmother's funeral. And there's this quote that you'll hear sometimes about writing, which is that you lie in service of the truth. And I do believe that a poet doesn't make the same pact with the reader that a memoirist or biographer or reporter does to recount reality as it happened, but rather you invent a world in a poem that creates an experience for a reader. And you can't ever assume when you read a poem that the narrator speaking is the poet. It's kind of one of the tricky things about reading poems as well as writing it, is that we just really can't assume that it's the literal truth. And what I wanted here was to let readers feel the emotional truth of what missing my grandmother's funeral was like for me through the images here. And note that I have a really long title, and I do love really long titles, but I'm careful not to use them indiscriminately. And the thing I want you to be thinking about is that a title is a great place to give readers the context needed to understand and appreciate a poem. And this particular poem is made up of images and has very little, if really no, information in it. So I let the title give the chronology, which was the time of my grandmother's funeral, the geography of this rock by Laurel Falls, and even the form I used. So here comes this very small poem. Small, double, almost haiku, written as I sit on a rock at Laurel Falls instead of attending my grandmother's funeral. Glisten of wind, green babble, lace cascade, assuage my guilt. Fill me, fallen stars of rhododendron, blossom through the mottled dark of my absent heart. So here's a reflection for you. In a few short sentences, describe your experience in this experimentation with form. What value do you see in writing in or close to a traditional form? And if you're interested in honing your craft in this area, then go ahead and use the resources here to learn about traditional forms and try your hand at a number of them. And a great book resource for learning traditional forms is Rhymes Reason by John Hollander. He takes every form you can think of and he writes a poem in that form to explain the form. So it's really clever and very easy to understand and to follow. And then if you're looking for examples of contemporary poems and traditional forms, I really love a book called Strong Measures, an anthology of contemporary American poetry in traditional forms. And that's edited by Philip Dacey and David Jouse. So you can look that one up.